Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've already been there this morning and we've read. I do want to call your attention to the two first verses that we're going to be talking about this morning. They're in chapter 12, verse 12. We're going to read verse 12 and verse 13. And then we're going to ask the Lord to be with us this morning. So let's look at verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I am so grateful for the opportunity to serve in your body, to be able to have a part in the function of your wonderfully made, magnificent body, the body of Jesus Christ, his church, and to be guided by one Spirit, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that we would see that we are important in the work of God, that we are important to you, and we are important to your church, and you have an essential function for each and every one of us in your work and in your church and in this church. Father, I pray that your will would be done in our hearts, that we would submit to your prodding, to your leading, to your gifting of us so that we might be used by you. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this time together. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. A man from Illinois decided to travel to Wisconsin to go duck hunt. Like I said, this weekend I went duck hunting, so this illustration kind of caught my eye. So this guy from Illinois decides to go duck hunting in Wisconsin. He shot and dropped a bird, but it fell into a farmer's field on the other side of the fence. So the Flatlander climbed over the fence, and a dairy farmer drove up on his tractor and asked what was going on. The hunter said, "I shot a duck, and I'm retrieving it." The old farmer replied, "This is my property, and you're not coming over here." Well, this made the hunter mad, so he said, "If you don't let me come over there and over that fence, I'll call my Chicago lawyer and I'll sue you." The farmer smiled and said, "Apparently you don't know how we do things up here. We settle disagreements with the Wisconsin three-kick rule. I'll kick you three times, and then you kick me three times, and so on, back and forth, until someone gives up." Well, the Illini liked that challenge because he thought he could easily take the old farmer. So the Wisconsin Badger climbed down from his tractor, planted the steel toe of his heavy work boot right into the man's shin. Then, the next time he kicked him right in the stomach and knocked the wind right out of that guy. His third kick, he kicked him right in the head with that steel-toed boot, and the guy was just reeling, and he's all messed up. Well, the guy finally got his bearings, and he said, "Okay, it's my turn." And the farmer said, "Nah, I give up. You can have the duck." You see, the old farmer, he realized some things just aren't worth fighting for. And sometimes we battle over stuff that doesn't need any battling over. And one of those things is spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. But for some reason, the people at Corinth decided that it was going to be a point of contention with them, that they were going to bicker over separate over and get into little cliques over spiritual gifts. Because some of them thought that because they had a certain spiritual gift and it was more prominent in the eyes of the church, that somehow that made them better or more important than others in the church. And then others in the church thought because their gift wasn't as prominent in the eyes of the church, that they were less important in the work of the Lord. And it caused strife among the members of the church. And because of pride, there was these separations. Their pride had led them to believe that they should be more prominent because of the gift God had given them to minister in the church. Now, obviously, this led to others believing that they were not as important in the function of the church because their gifts were not as prominent and cherished as others. Well, this leads the Apostle Paul to demonstrate through the analogy of the human body the importance of all who have been baptized into the Holy Spirit through their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to see today. As a believer in Jesus, you have been endowed with spiritual gifts from the Spirit of God to be used in His church to benefit others. And we learned that last week in the first part of chapter 12. Although your gifts are different than others, they are vital to God's work and make you as an important part of the work of the church. You are an important part of the work of the church. With this fact in mind, no one should feel unimportant in the church. So let's take a look at this passage and see why you are important in the work of God in His church. First of all, I want you to notice verse 14. It says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." Now, I want you to understand something here. You are important in the church because God has designed you to work in harmony with others. God has designed us. He's designed the church, and He's designed us as individuals to work in harmony with others in the church. The analogy of the body is given here to show a design. You were designed in a certain way. Notice the phrase at the end of verse 12. It says, "So also is Christ." So also is Christ. What does that mean? Remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, where God said, "Let us make man in our image." Right? God made us. He designed us in the image of Christ. He designed us like Himself. He designed us in a way that would reflect who He is. And when we fulfill that design, We will work together with one another, and we will show who Christ is. So there's a design here, the image of God, and we are designed to function with others in the church, just like the members of our body function together. So we have this one body, yet we have many members, but they all work in harmony with one another. They all work together to function as a unit. And that's what we need to understand. As believers in Jesus Christ, God hasn't set us apart from a body. And this is important, and one of the reasons why we should all belong to a local body of believers is because you're not designed to just be out by yourself doing the work of God. You are actually designed to be a part of a body that functions to produce the plan of God. And so we must work together because that's how we were designed, to work together as a unit. And each one of us has been gifted in a way where we have different functions in our body, in the body of the church, that make us vital to it functioning properly. Okay? So each one of us may have a different part. We may be a different member of the body. But in order for our body to function properly, our part is necessary. Our part is essential. And so God has designed the work of the church and designed the church to work like our bodies, a design created in His image. This makes every part important because all the parts of the body are designed to work with others. When one of the parts of the body is missing, it hinders the functions of the entire body. So, when one of us or some of us decide we're no longer going to function in, use our gifts in the work of the church, that's like getting one of your limbs cut off. That's like the church getting one of its limbs cut off. When we were building the church here, I was using a nail gun one day, putting together one of the walls over in the Sunday school wing, and I put a 12-penny nail right through my thumb. And so I went to the emergency room. They had to cut it out and pull it out. Well, my thumb was all swollen up, and I couldn't use that thumb. Well, you wouldn't think that it'd be much of a big deal not to just have one thumb. But you know what? Try putting your socks on without that thumb. It's terrible. You're trying to use these two fingers to pull up this side, and you can't hardly do it. And it's amazing how hindered you are without just one thumb. And that's the way the body is. That's the way the body of Christ is. When even just one part of the body is not functioning the way it's supposed to, it affects the rest of the body. And it shows that it is essential to the design of the body. So we need to understand that. And we need to see that we are important. You are important. You may not be the heart or the brain in the body, but you may be the thumb. And that's as vital as anything. And so we need to understand we are all important in the work of God. Every believer in Jesus Christ, God has designed you and gifted you to be a part of the work of God in a local body of believers. And that design helps the work of God continue and grow. I love that our kids in this church are involved in the work of the Lord. I love how they just are willing to do whatever we ask them to do in the church. and they're willing to use their gifts and abilities for the service of the Lord. Well, that's an important lesson. That means that all of us can do that. If a 12-year-old can come on up here and sing and praise God and worship God and serve the Lord in that way, well, then I think we all can. I think God has something for all of us to do. And I think we can see that. You are important in the church. You are important in the church because God has designed you to operate with the rest of the church to perform God's purposes and plans. All the parts are needed to reflect the image of Christ in the world. That's what we need to remember. All the parts are needed to reflect the image of Christ in the world. Now look at verse 22 for a moment. It says, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unrepresented parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Now, you know, sometimes it's hard to read a translation. I'm sure this sounds a lot smoother in the Greek. But here's the message. You are important in the church because even the least noticeable part of the church is essential. Even the least noticeable part of the church is essential. Paul says, just because one of the gifts of the Spirit seems to get the attention of others doesn't mean it is more important than another gift. So we need to see that. As a matter of fact, what he seems to be saying here is the gifts that get less attention may be more important or more vital to the health of the body than those that get more attention. For instance, hair. Most of us, Paul, have hair on our head. Love you, Paul. So anyways, we have hair on our heads, right? This morning, I got up and I spent 5 minutes combing my hair, putting hairspray in it, making sure it's all in place. I hope it's still in place. Who knows? But anyways, we do that, right? We get up, we pay attention to our hair. Ladies especially, you might spend, you know, a half hour on your hair. Who knows? I know some ladies spend more than that. Well, how many of us spent that kind of attention on our knees this morning? Right? How many of us spent that kind of attention on our knees? Probably none of us spent any attention on our knees, unless they were aching and we put some Bengay on them. Well, let me ask you something. Would you rather function without hair or knees? Yeah, exactly. Right? So but our hair is what everybody sees. Our hair is what everybody sees, so we put a lot of attention into our hair. Well, in the work of God, the parts that maybe no one pays attention to are more vital than those that people do pay attention to. And so Paul tries to give us this illustration to make us understand that, listen, we're all important in the work of God, even though we may not get all the attention, even though we're not the one that everybody is focused on. Our gift may be the one that's vital, even more vital than some of the others. And so let's remember that. You are important in the work of the church because God has a function for you to perform, even if it doesn't get a lot of attention. A well-known conductor was holding a rehearsal one night with a vast array of musicians and a 100-voice choir. While the mighty chorus sang out, the horns blared and the cymbals clashed. Sitting far back in the orchestra, the piccolo player thought to herself, with all these loud instruments, it doesn't matter what I do. They don't need me. And so she stopped playing. Suddenly the conductor stopped the music and looked right at the piccolo player and said, it doesn't sound right without you. If you don't play, the concert's off. We need you. And you know what? We need you. We need each and every one of you to use the gifts that God has given you to function in the body of the church and to work with others to see His plan accomplished. And regardless of what attention is given to your performance of those gifts, to performance of that function, it should not make us stop. I know many people with the gift of service, and they're wonderful people that God uses to serve in the church. They're willing to do whatever they need to do to help out in the church. They see a need, and they're there, and they serve. Well, it's people like that, though, that don't get a lot of attention. They don't get a lot of attention because most of what they do is behind the scenes. But I want you to know something. Just because it's behind the scenes doesn't mean it isn't vital and it doesn't matter. It does matter. And if you stop because you're not getting recognized for what you are doing, it's going to affect the function of the church. And it won't be right. Just like the concert won't be right. It won't be right if you stop because you don't get the attention that others do for what you are doing. And so let's remember that. Let's remember we are important. Although others may not see what we are doing for the Lord, He sees. Jesus sees. And Jesus will reward us when we do what He asks us to do and gifts us to do. So let's remember that as we serve the Lord. We are important. We are important. Now, look at verse 25. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do they all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, our gifts are given to benefit the whole body. That's what we need to understand here. Our gifts are given to benefit the whole body. Now, when one part fails, it affects the whole body. So we need to look out for one another. We need to make sure that we are using our gifts to help someone else out. And maybe that means when they're down, when they're hurting, we use our gifts to lift them up. And when we're down, if they're there doing what they're supposed to, then they will lift us up when we're down. And that's how the body works. The body has systems and functions where if a part is failing, then the other parts of the body can work to heal that part of the body. But we must understand there is a connection here. We cannot just say, well, I don't think that part of the body is very important. We'll just let that part go. You know, I had to get my gallbladder taken out a couple years ago. Well, I'm glad that I can function without that. But there must be something about the gallbladder that, you know, helps us digest food. And although I'm functioning without it, I probably function better with it. So we need to be careful that we don't just start cutting off parts of our body, saying, oh, I don't need my arm, I don't need my leg. Yeah, we do. And when people are hurting, we need to recognize that. A mouse looked through the crack in the wall to see the farmer and his wife open a package. What food might this contain? The mouse wondered. He was devastated to discover it was a mouse trap. Retreating to the farmyard, the mouse proclaimed to the a warning. There is a mouse trap in the house. There is a mouse trap in the house. The chicken clucked and scratched, raised her head and said, Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it is of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it. The mouse turned to the pig and told him, there is a mouse mouse trap in the house. There is a mouse trap in the house. The pig sympathized but said, I'm very sorry, Mr. Mouse, but there is nothing I can do about that but to pray. Be assured you are in my prayers. The mouse turned to the cow and said, there is a mouse trap in the house. There is a mouse trap in the house. The cow said, wow, Mr. Mouse, I am sorry for you, but that is no skin off my nose. So the mouse returned to the house, head down and dejected. The face of the farmer's mouse trap, the face to face the farmer's mouse trap alone. That very night, a sound was heard throughout the house, like the sound of a mouse trap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught. In the darkness, she did not see it was a venomous snake whose tail had been caught. The snake was furious and bit the farmer's wife. The farmer rushed her to the hospital, and she returned home with a severe fever. Everyone knows that to treat a fever, you should treat it with fresh chicken soup. So, the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard with the soup's main ingredient, but his wife's sickness continued. So friends and relatives came to the farmer's wife and tried to help her. Well, the wife's sickness, so everyone came to treat the fever. So the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard with the soup's main ingredients, but his wife's sickness continued, so friends and relatives came and tried to help her get better. Well, in order to feed the people that came to help his wife, he slaughtered the pig and fed all them. Well, the farmer's wife didn't get any better, and eventually she died. So the funeral came, and many people were at the funeral, and so the farmer slaughtered the cow in order to feed all those people that came to the funeral. The mouse looked upon it all from his crack in the wall with great sadness and said, I warned them about the mouse trap, but they didn't take my warning into account. So what's that tell us? What's that tell us? Everybody in the house, when one is affected, we're all affected. When one is threatened, we're all threatened. We're all so important to the work of God that we need to protect one another's spiritual interests and use our gifts to help others. That's why we're here. That's why we were designed the way we were. so that we could benefit others with the gifts that we have. And so we need to use those gifts, because our gifts were designed to benefit the whole body. Our involvement in the function of the church is essential. Christ sacrificed his physical body so you could be a part of his spiritual body. Jesus Christ sacrificed his physical body so that you could be a part of his spiritual body and function with others to perform his wonderful plan. You see, it all goes back to that day when Jesus died on the cross for you. It all comes back to that day. It all comes back to that sacrifice that he made when he hung on the cross and shed his blood so that you could have a purpose and be restored to a relationship with Jesus Christ that would last for all eternity. And you were restored to a design that allows you to perform wonderful works by the Holy Spirit of God in his church for his plan. He did all that. He died on the cross and he sent his Holy Spirit to all who believe in him so that you could have an important function in his work. So that your life would make a difference. So that you would be significant in this world. So that your life would count for eternity. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And so with that in mind, we should ask him, Lord, what have you gifted me with? So that I might be used in your church for your purpose. How can I function with others to perform the duties that you want me to do? This is how we fulfill the plan God has for us. When everyone in the church recognizes their importance to the work of the church and the work of God, God can do wonderful things. He can do wonderful things. And we can help one another and see the work of God flourish and see his church grow. In 1999, Kevin Stephan of Lancaster, New York, was a bat boy for his younger brother's Little League baseball team. During one game, a player who was warming up accidentally hit Kevin in the chest with a bat. Kevin fell to the ground unconscious. His heart stopped beating. All I remember is that all of a sudden I got hit in the chest with something and I turned around and passed out, Kevin says. Penny Brown, a nurse whose son played on the team, was able to revive Kevin. 7 years later, Penny Brown was eating at the Hillview restaurant in Depew, New York. When she began to choke on her food, the food wasn't going anywhere, she said, and I totally couldn't breathe. It was very frightening. Patrons screamed for help. One of the restaurant employees, a volunteer firefighter, ran out from the back. He wrapped his arms around the victim, applied the Heimlich maneuver, and saved the woman's life. The firefighter was Kevin Stephan, the boy whom Penny had saved 7 years earlier. You see that? Suppose one of them decided they weren't going to use the abilities that God had given them. One of them wouldn't be here today, or maybe both of them. But because they used their abilities, God used them to help others. That's what the church is supposed to function like. The church is supposed to function in a way where you use the gifts that God has given you to help others. And if everybody is doing that, when you're in need, you'll get the help you need. And the body functions properly that way. And so I encourage all of us to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the gift that he has given to us. And maybe you don't know. Come to me, and we'll talk about it. I'll go through many verses of Scripture with you, and we'll find out what gifts God has given to you. And then we can figure out where God wants you to use those gifts in the church. I promise you, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. You are important in the work of God. And he wants you to know that, and he wants you to use your gifts. And another thing, we shouldn't be have any contention about what gifts God gives us and what gifts what we use those gifts for. Whether we have a prominent position in the church because of the gifts we have, or we have a less prominent, because they're all important. That's what we need to remember.